Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand, a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. Virginia voters turned out Tuesday and narrowly voted in favor of a redraw of the state's congressional maps to favor Democrats. Wednesday in Richmond, Democrats who led the effort celebrated that win, but as Brad Cutner found out, not everyone was thrilled with the results.
We knew this was going to be hard, but that's why we're still fighting. We're still fighting in the courts. We think we're going to win in the courts.
That's Republican House Minority Leader Terry Kilgore speaking to reporters Wednesday morning after Virginians voted for an amendment that will likely flip four of the Commonwealth's GOP-held congressional seats to Democrats. He and other Republicans have set their hopes on a collection of lawsuits they hope will overturn Tuesday's three-point win. But Democratic House Speaker Don Scott wasn't worried.
First thing they do when they can't win an election, now they're trying to undo it and they're running to the courthouse to overturn the will of the voters. The last thing Republicans want to see in Virginia is a voter.
And Democratic Senate President Louise Lucas, who was the most outspoken advocate for the 10-1 maps, was just as thrilled with the results.
And what started in Texas didn't stay in Texas. And what started here will not stay here either. Virginia sent a message. If you try to rig the system, we fight back. If you try to take power from voters, we will take it right back.
Governor Abigail Spanberger credited the voters, but also noted,
the margin's greater than the 2021 gubernatorial win.
That was the win for Spanberger's predecessor, Republican Governor Glenn Youngkin, who made a late entry into the effort to stop the amendment. As for the court battle, the Supreme Court of Virginia will hold oral arguments in one of the disputes Monday. In Richmond, I'm Brad Cutner.
Republicans filed another lawsuit and got a friendly ruling from a Tazewell County judge Wednesday. The Attorney General's office said it will appeal. Governor Abigail Spanberger is back to considering the original legislation that would create a retail marketplace for marijuana. Michael Pope has this story.
Members of the General Assembly are passing a joint priority of the House and Senate back to Governor Abigail Spanberger, rejecting her amendments to a bill that would create a retail marketplace for marijuana. Senator LaCharisse Aird is a Democrat from Petersburg who says the governor should sign the bill now on her desk.
Virginians have been very clear about their expectations of a cannabis retail marketplace. The enrolled version of the bill fulfills that expectation, and hers does not. And her obligation is to the individuals that she represents.
Republican House Leader Terry Kilgore says he hopes the governor vetoes the bill.
I'm afraid that what's going on is really going to push a lot of people to the black market because of the cost involved. And, you know, a lot of folks don't want to smell marijuana walking up and down the street. And I'm worried about that for, you know, especially some of our smaller towns and things of that nature.
One of the changes Spanberger wanted was delaying when the marketplace would begin from January until next summer. Members of the General Assembly rejected those this week. Now she's got a decision to make. Allow the bill to become law without her signature, sign the bill, or veto it. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
A lot of the milk we drink comes from large farms outside of Virginia, and that's especially true as smaller dairy farms close.
I miss the work. What I don't miss is the uncertainty, you know, that you might make a huge profit this week and lose it all the next week and not have any chance to make it back in 6 months.
Up ahead, the challenges of keeping a dairy farm afloat in a rural area. We'll have that story from Roxy Todd in a little bit. Authorities say a chemical leak at a West Virginia silver recovery business has killed two people and sent about 30 others to the hospital, including one person in serious condition. A Kanawha County emergency management official says the leak occurred Wednesday at the Catalyst Refiners plant in the community of Institute, about 10 miles west of Charleston. He says workers were preparing to shut down at least part of the facility when the leak occurred, causing a chemical gas reaction involving nitric acid and another substance. Authorities say seven ambulance workers who responded to the leak were among the injured. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration has opened an investigation. Virginia health officials are investigating two confirmed measles cases in the Fredericksburg area. The Virginia Department of Health says the cases involve a preschool-aged child and a slightly older child who recently traveled together. There are several potential exposure sites, including KidMed Stafford Urgent Care on April 16th and multiple dates at Grafton Village Elementary School. Anyone who was at one of those locations is asked to report their exposure through a VDH survey. Most Virginians are protected from measles through a routine vaccination, but those who are unvaccinated may qualify for time-sensitive post-exposure treatment. Governor Abigail Spanberger will deliver the commencement address at Virginia Tech next month. The move continues a long-standing tradition at Tech where newly elected governors are invited to speak. Spanberger will deliver her address on May 15th. This note of disclosure, Radio IQ, is a service of Virginia Tech. Governor Spanberger is considering legislation that could define her relationship with labor groups. Michael Pope has this story.
On the campaign trail, Abigail Spanberger said she was not interested in overturning the so-called right-to-work law. Since she became governor, she rejected a casino proposal that was a top priority for labor. Now, labor groups across Virginia are asking her to sign a bill that would allow for collective bargaining for state and local government employees. Kurt Dietrich is vice president of the Virginia Professional Firefighters.
Virginia's firefighters have waited long enough to have this same right that firefighters in 35 other states enjoy every day. It was made pretty clear on the campaign trail that this was a priority for her in supporting Virginia's firefighters, and not just the firefighters, but all of our workers across the Commonwealth and in the public sector. And it's time for her to sign it.
Republican House Leader Terry Kilgore says the governor should veto the bill.
You know, I think it's a bad deal. I think it could be the biggest tax increase we could ever see in Virginia if on the locality, on the property taxes. So a lot of businesses across Virginia counties, especially local governments I've heard from, don't want her to sign it. So we'll see.
Spanberger made some suggested changes to the bill that members of the General Assembly rejected this week. Now she's got a decision to make. Allow the bill to become law without her signature, sign the bill, or veto it. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
A Virginia man convicted of armed robbery and sentenced to 132 years has finally won an absolute pardon. The victim of that crime identified him while looking out his car window, driving 35 miles an hour at night. That detail caught the attention of attorney Deirdre Enright, who led UVA's Innocence Project at the time.
It's not abnormal for eyewitnesses, victims of violence and trauma, to be looking everywhere for the person who attacked them. And 2 weeks later, Red Asbell thought he found that person. And then 2 days later, they found the actual person.
But police had already arrested Johnson for the robbery and didn't even ask the second man about it. So Johnson spent more than 20 years behind bars.
I stayed focused on fighting for my innocence. I studied quite a bit of law. And then it's the everyday things that people do out here, exercise, writing, staying in touch with family and friends, keeping a great support system.
Last year, a court said he qualified for a full pardon. And this year, the General Assembly voted unanimously to give him $1.3 million. Localities across Virginia receive varying grades in the American Lung Association's annual State of the Air Report. The Richmond metro area received passing grades for all major air quality measures, including a B for ozone, even though that metric was slightly worse than last year's assessment. Roanoke earned its 10th straight A for ozone, but Arlington and the Winchester area received the state's worst grades for both ozone and short-term particle pollution. The group says rollbacks of federal clean air protections threaten public health. The owners of the last remaining dairy in Tazewell County recently announced they're closing their business. It's just one of many dairy farms across the Commonwealth that have closed in recent decades. Roxy Todd has been talking with farmers in Southwest Virginia about the challenges of keeping a dairy open in a rural area.
Jim Hufford starts each morning at 6:30 on his family's dairy farm.
But we might be here till 8 at night. You know, we have to manage our time to be home or to be with your kids if they have a ball game. And so, you know, you manage your time just like anything else.
He owns this farm with his son and brother John.
Our grandfather started milking here in 1928, being able to keep that going with family and the best business partners you could ask for is a really big part of why we're still here.
Their grandfather had one employee. They have 12. They've grown their herd, too, and now milk 700 cows.
When you started looking at the numbers, we had to get larger to have an income to do the things we needed to do.
Another change they made is the breed. They're now milking Jersey cows, which are light brown and smaller than other dairy cows.
They have a personality of their own, so that a lot of the guys with other breeds who got some Jerseys, well, the Jerseys opened all their gates. So they're smart. But they're enjoyable cattle to be around.
Jersey milk is also good for butter. So 15 years ago, they opened their own dairy called Duchess Dairy and now sell milk and butter at stores across Southwest Virginia.
We knew Jersey milk tastes better and was more nutritious, so we thought people would like that, and it appears that they've been supportive of that.
In Tazewell County, another dairy announced this year they're closing after milking cows for five generations. John Blankenship is an extension agent in Tazewell and says the Snap Farm was the last dairy in their county.
It's very difficult to be that generation that ends something that's a legacy in your family. But when you can't financially keep losing money, you have to do something else.
Andy Overbay had to make that decision in 1998 when he and his wife closed their family's dairy in Smith County.
To me, my favorite part was the baby calves. I miss going out and finding a cow that had freshened and a new baby. That was a new possibility, a new life, and they're cute little boogers playing with their ears. They're just like velvet.
Now, Overbay works with Virginia Cooperative Extension.
I miss the work. What I don't miss is the uncertainty, you know, that you might make a huge profit this week and lose it all the next week and not have any chance to make it back in 6 months.
He advises farmers not to take on more debt than they can handle. But the dairy industry has changed a lot, with larger farms with more expensive machines able to produce milk cheaper than smaller dairies.
We went from several hundred farms in Southwest Virginia to just a handful.
There are 340 dairy farms left in Virginia, according to the Virginia Farm Bureau Federation. In 1950, there were 15,000.
The dairy business would almost guarantee you a farm loan. I mean, if you went to the bank and said, I want to start a dairy farm, they'd throw money at you because it was a good business and still can be.
Overbay says another challenge today is transportation. It's expensive to truck milk to a processing plant, especially in rural areas with few farms left.
It's not a product that you get rid of locally. You have to put wheels underneath it.
Overbay says if fuel prices stay high, farmers may find it's even more difficult to pay someone to transport their milk. Back at the Hufford farm, Jim says he and his brother are remaining hopeful.
It is a tough industry, and I don't have a secret.
In 2 years, their dairy will turn 100. In Wythe County, I'm Roxy Todd.
Looking at the forecast, we'll have some much-needed rain expected this weekend. Mostly sunny today, possibly a couple of showers and a storm or two. Best chance along and north of I-64. A little breezy, highs in the mid-70s to 85 for Roanoke, Danville, and Richmond. Fairly clear tonight, lows bottom out in the low 50s to around 58 for Richmond. Sunny starting out Friday, then some clouds working into the region. A couple isolated showers and storms in areas east, including Fredericksburg and Richmond. A little breezy, highs in the mid-70s to mid-80s throughout the region. Thank you for listening to Virginia On Demand. And a little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bossert.